this chapter covers an interview with the designer of the Friends for Sale game, you know, which I consider like a dating game utility. And I made this interview a long time ago, so I'm just going to splice it in now. Enjoy.
Great. I'm at Engage Expo, and with me today is a special guest. How about you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Siki Chen. I'm the founder and CEO of Serious Business.
Great. And what does Serious Business do?
We make social games on Facebook, like many other companies.
And what games have you done?
So the one we're probably best known for is one called Friends for Sale. It's hot or not with the market economy. You buy and sell people to be your pets, hit on hot girls, and in turn they ask for you other people to buy them.
Yeah, when you first came out with that, it was a huge big deal. You know, what inspired you to come up with that idea, and what were the challenges as you were developing it?
Well, it's always a big deal. It's actually bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thanks. What inspired us to come up with it?
Yeah.
So, this story is long and complicated, but I was in Las Vegas with a friend of mine. We were at Tao, I believe, for their 2-year anniversary, and, you know, I was broke at the time, and my friend was loaded, so he managed to get his table that night. And we were in line at a table in front of the club, and I was looking around the line, and I was like, wow, this line is just full of guys. This sucks, right? And the club's going to be full of dudes. I don't want it. And you paid how much for this? Like $500,000?
Yeah.
Friend's like, chill out. Look. So he points at a front to like, across the room in front of Tao, and there's, like, 40, 50... ridiculously hot girls, right?
Sure.
And the bouncer would let a few guys in who bought tables. And the only way you get in at the time was to get a table. As a guy.
Yeah.
Goes to the other side of the room and less than 12 hot girls. I was like, that's fucking beautiful. Right? It's good to be a rich dude or a hot girl. And I thought, okay, how can you make that into a game?
Yeah.
So okay. We made a game, Friends for Sale, where it's really good to be a rich dude or a hot girl.
Yeah. And, you know, before that, you did some other games on Facebook. What inspired you to keep going? Because I know it was something where you weren't too enthusiastic about it at first.
Well,
and in fact, you even did, like, a Mafia game, ironically.
I did. I think it was the first Mafia game on Facebook.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was, actually. It was, like, the month after the platform came out. Well, what inspired me to first do social games is the week the platform came out, I was playing a game of diplomacy with some of my Y Combinator startup friends.
Sure.
And we were just sitting there, and every turn took 4 hours.
Sure.
And I thought, you know, this is a game where you play with your friends, and it's asynchronous, and it takes a long time to do. This would be great on Facebook.
Sure.
And then I sat down, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Facebook is the first time in history where you have access to any given person's complete social data, who their friends are, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, the biggest game, the biggest company on this platform will eventually be the EA games of Facebook. That will be the biggest company. And in hindsight, that was right.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I wasn't right about what would work on Facebook. I thought it would be games where you essentially play with your people, where your pieces are people, and they're your friends. And it turns out people are pretty satisfied with largely single-player RPG experiences, and they monetize extraordinarily well.
Sure. And, you know, going back to Friends for Sale, when you released it, what was the response, and what happened?
Like, oh, yeah, that was crazy. You know, it just kind of blew up. All on its own immediately. We built some metrics beforehand to tune it, but after we tune it, like, it's like, okay, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is try to keep the site up. So immediately we were getting like Saudi sheikhs like messaging us, like, can we please buy some money? Because for the first 2 months we weren't selling anything.
Oh, really?
We were really happy making money off of ads, right?
Oh, wow. Okay, so you actually had banner ads on there. So.
Yeah, we had banner ads.
Okay.
And we were like, you know, I was like, this is great. We're making a crap load of money from ads. And then it's like, you know what? So many people have messaged us and asked to buy this. How can we buy this? Like, why don't you sell it to them?
Yeah.
We did that, and it's like, whoa, now we have a business.
Okay. And that's when you put in the virtual economy.
That's that's when you put the virtual
and,
goods in.
You know, but for 2 months then, were you even thinking about balancing the economy or dealing with inflation issues? Was that even on your mind then?
It was. It was constantly on my mind. The flaw with the mechanic is that prices only ever go up, and very little money gets taken out of the economy.
Sure.
So, and we didn't fix that for a whole year.
Okay.
You know, we it was really hard to come up with a good solution for that without pissing off all of our users.
Okay. And what was the solution then?
Proprietary.
Okay, sure. And, you know, what were some of the other challenges once you actually started? I mean, did you think that it would be a fad or that it could grow more? You know, now you say that you have more users now than you've had before. So, I mean, what can other developers take from your experience in terms of actually keeping users coming back?
I think we've always believed it is a sustainable product because what it is it's kind of user-generated content, where the content is people, right?
Yeah.
And meeting new people and maintaining those relationships through the only connection you have, which is friends for sale, is highly retentive.
Sure.
And meeting new people and dating people and asking people out and flirting is never going to get old. That is evergreen.
Sure.
And what would you say are the three biggest challenges or learning, like surprises that you've had with this whole experience?
Huh.
Aside from the virtual economy thing that...
Yeah, inflation, yeah, that was... biggest surprises. I can't think of any... Well, I think the biggest surprise, I can't name like three. I think the biggest surprise for me is just how much the X-Wars genre has taken off.
Okay.
It's still big now, but at the time, like when it first came out, Mafia Wars didn't exist a year ago. Very few people remember this.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And it's only been a year, and that's made Zynga, right?
Yeah.
So Mob Wars, and when I first saw Mob Wars, I didn't think it was a very good game. It's not fun, and it didn't fit to my idea what a social game was supposed to be. So that was my biggest surprise, and obviously we paid a dear price for not investing in that genre very, very early.
Yeah, and so where do you see now the future of social games going? I mean, do you feel that the space is already set, all the things have already been determined? What?
I think empirically, obviously not, right? Yeah. Like Farmtown came out of nowhere, and it's one of the largest games on Facebook. Obviously, Farmville's much bigger, but you know, like that's. But if you look at Farmtown, they still have, you know, a couple of 3 million daily active users, which is no joke, right? That's a really meaningful business. Right? And it's like 100, 200 employees right there.
And do you think, though, this space is just so different than normal traditional game space? Because you look at Farmtown, that actually has live chat, and then you look at Farmville, which has no chat, and it's, you know, three or four times bigger now.
Yeah, I think the how large Farmville is compared to Farmtown doesn't necessarily correlate with it being a better product.
Okay.
Although it's different, and it's certainly better in some ways.
Sure.
But I think Zynga has gotten user acquisition retention down to a science, and it's reflective that those learnings and those technologies.
Okay, so aside from gameplay, then data metrics is probably the most important thing for game development.
Yeah, I think I read as I was driving here, Mark Pincus said that they consider game development science, not an art, which is which makes sense, which is why Farmville is 10 times bigger than Farmtown.
Okay. And any last words then for other developers looking to get into social games?
Certainly. It's like still a young space, not too late. Come compete with us.
Great. Thank you very much.